Are you missing the main thing in life? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve to explain.
Jesus wants you to be passionately in love with Him. And remember this, the devil is at work to draw your heart away from the Lord so that you would leave your first love, so that you would get out of that love relationship with the Lord. Hey, you know the prescription for your heart. Number one, you remember. Remember what? Remember how it used to be. Remember the first love. Remember when you were first saved.
He can heal every scar with real truth, real love, real hope from His heart.
Back in the very early days of Christianity, the church in the city of Ephesus was actually doing some good things. But the Lord called them out in Revelation chapter 2 for missing the main thing. The sad truth is that we, too, so often miss the obvious. This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, who will pose a pointed question in today's lesson. Are you missing the main thing in your relationship with Jesus Christ? The message today is from Pastor Jeff's series, For Such a Time as This, How to Overcome the Darkness by Living in the Light. It's also our special thank you gift for your support this month. You can find out more at fromhisheart.org. Now, open your Bible to Revelation chapter 2. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve with the reality that many of us may be missing the main thing.
Today, we're going to look at Revelation chapter 2. It's the letter that Jesus wrote to the church in Ephesus. You know, in the book of the Revelation, John, who was on the island of Patmos, exiled on the island of Patmos in the middle 90s AD, he sees the Lord Jesus Christ in all of His beauty and all of His glory. John, who had had an experience with Jesus for 3.5 years in his ministry, John, who laid his head on Jesus' chest at the Last Supper, now when he sees Jesus with all the humanity pulled away and he sees His divinity, he sees His glory, he falls at His feet like a dead man. And the Lord raises him up and he says to him, John, I am the living one and I was dead and behold, I'm alive forevermore and I have the keys of death and of Hades. And he had a message to share with the church of that day. And seven letters to seven churches, the churches of Asia Minor. And these are not just letters for that day and age. They're letters for all days and all ages. They're letters for us today, and especially the letter to the Ephesians. And the letter to the Ephesians says this, to the angel, chapter 2, verse 1, to the angel, and the angel is the messenger, the leader, the pastor of the church in Ephesus, write, the one who holds the seven stars or the seven messengers in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, the scripture says that those represent the seven churches, he says this, I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance and that you cannot endure evil men, and you put to the test those who call themselves apostles and they are not, and you found them to be false, and you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, and repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I am coming to you, and I will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. Yet this you do have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Church in Ephesus was doing some good things, but they were missing the main thing. And the Lord calls them out on the main thing. Hey, maybe you're just like the Christians in Ephesus. Maybe you've left your first love. He doesn't say you've lost your first love. He says you've left your first love. You've wandered away from your first love. You neglected your first love. You disregarded your first love. And now you got something else that has captured your heart. How can you tell if you're one who has left your first love? Let me throw some questions at you that were thrown at me when I was in college, and I've never forgotten them. What's the test? Number one, when you delight more in someone else than in the Lord, you have left your first love. Number two, when your soul does not long for fellowship with the Lord alone, that's an indicator that you've left your first love. Number three, when your thoughts during leisure moments are not on the Lord, that's an indicator that you've left your first love. He's not on your heart like he used to be. Number four, when you view the commands of God as restrictions on your life, you've left your first love. Number five, when you inwardly strive for the acclaim of men rather than God, you've left your first love. Number six, when you fail to make Christ known for fear of rejection, indicates you've left your first love. Number seven, when you refuse to give up questionable activities, an indicator that you've left your first love. Number eight, when you're unwilling to forgive another person who has hurt you and wronged you. Number nine, when you become complacent of sin around you. All those things say, hey, warning, 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 Will Robinson, you've left your first love. And that's a serious, serious thing. Why? Because that's the main thing. When they asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. This is the great and foremost commandment. Nothing else compares to that commandment. Everything comes from that. See, the Christian life is a love relationship with God. It's not doing rules. It's not legalistic rule following. That's what the Pharisees had turned it into. And Jesus said that they were whitewashed tombs. They were a brood of snakes. It's all about love. He loves us, and we love him back. We love, 1 John chapter 4, we love because he first loved us. That's what the Christian life is all about. When Paul wrote the letter to the Ephesians in chapter 3, his prayer for them was that they would know, they would be rooted and grounded in love, and they would understand what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. I've always loved that. Paul said, I want you to know this that you can't know. That's unknowable. It's just unfathomable love. That's how much God loves you. And I want you to be rooted and grounded in that love. That's how much he loves you. And when you understand how much God loves you, it's just natural to love him back. It's natural to love him back. And the devil works to try and get you to believe that God doesn't love you. Why? Because of your deeds. I know your deeds. Now, he told them, I know your deeds, and he tells them good things, but he also knows our deeds, and he knows the bad things. And the devil says, see, God sees all your bad things, and God doesn't want to have anything to do with you, and God doesn't love you anymore, and God can't forgive you because you did X, Y, and Z. And we start to believe the lies of the devil, and we start pulling away from the Lord, and he doesn't love me, so I'm not going to love him. That's baloney. God does love you, and he wants you rooted and grounded in love. And there's nothing you can do that could ever get God to love you anymore, and there's not anything you could do that could get God to love you any less. He just loves you with an everlasting love. And you just receive it and rejoice in it. Hey, Jesus wants you to be passionately in love with him. And remember this, the devil is at work to do what? To draw your heart away from the Lord so that you would leave your first love, so that you would get out of that love relationship with the Lord. It says in the book of Jude, keep yourselves in the love of God so that you can experience his joy and peace and power. So how does the devil work? Look what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I am afraid, lest as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds should be led astray from what? The simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. Of devotion to the Lord, of love for the Lord, of passion for the Lord. The devil works to lead you astray and lead you away from that. Now, how does he do it? He does it, number one, through temptation of sin. He will dangle sin in front of you. Just like a fisherman is out there with his lure and he dangles the lure in front of the fish and it's shiny and it's bright and boy, it looks so good. The devil does that. And just like a fish, if you bite on that temptation, then you're going to feel the hook. And you know, that fish is saying, man, this looks so good. I want to get a piece of that. That's going to be good. And he bites it. And pretty soon he's hooked. And then he's reeled in, hooked and cooked, gutted and grilled. It's a bad deal to bite on the bait. But that's what the devil does. And see, the Bible says in Hebrews that sin will harden your heart. Encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. You want a heart that's white hot, that's passionate for the Lord, that's soft and tender toward the Lord? You're not going to have that if you're committing sin. You're not going to have that if you're sleeping with your boyfriend. You're not going to have that if you're committing all kinds of immorality in your life and think it's no big deal and think you can come to church and, well, God's just must be so wildly happy with me because I bothered to get up this morning to come to church. He's God. Well, I don't know what we think sometimes. We think that, you know, God's just so, boy, he's just so enamored with me because I gave him 2 cents. I tipped my hat to him. I gave him a crumb. He's the God of the universe. I mean, what a privilege that we have to worship him, to come into his presence. And so, God forbid, it is a terrifying thing, the scripture says, to fall into the hands of the living God. We play around with sin like it's no big deal. It's a big deal, because God says, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And when the devil gets you to bite on the hook, you're going to lose your love for God. It's your heart's going to harden. There's no sin that will harden your heart as much as sexual immorality, and that's just a rampant sin in our world today. So he uses temptation and sin. He uses hurt. He uses bad things that come into our lives. The loss of a loved one, the loss of a marriage because your spouse says, I want out, I want somebody else. The loss of a job, the loss of your physical health, and people can get bitter because those losses come into their lives and they're not able to process it. They're not able to handle it. They're not able to bring it to the Lord. You know, Paul had something come into his life, called it a thorn in the flesh. He didn't want it. And he prayed 3 times that it might depart from him. And on the 3rd time, the Lord said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in your weakness. And then Paul saw it in a whole different light. And Paul praised the Lord for it and said, Paul said, most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weaknesses that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Maybe you're struggling with the temptation and sin, and that's why your heart has been dragged away. Maybe it's from hurt and you're bitter at another person, or really you're bitter at God because he didn't change the circumstances. Or maybe it's just neglect. You know, to leave your first love, one of the definitions of that word left is in verse 4 is neglected. You just neglect your first love. I think that's illustrated in Luke chapter 10 with Mary and Martha. You know, Martha was all excited because Jesus was coming over for dinner. And man, she had the menu. It was going to be meatloaf, Martha's meatloaf for the master. That's what we're having. And it's going to be awesome. And see, she understood when she set up the dinner that it was this way. It's, we're having Martha's meatloaf for the master. And then as she began to work on the dinner, it became, we're having Martha's meatloaf for the master. It was all about her dinner. And her sister Mary, what did she do? She was cooking for a while, and she said, man, Jesus is in another room. I'm going over there to be with Jesus. And she was sitting at his feet listening to his word. And Martha was looking around for, where's my sister to help me cook? Where have Martha's meatloaf? And nobody's here to help me. And so she said to the Lord, tell her to come in and help me. You remember what Jesus said to her? Martha, Martha, you're worried and bothered about so many things. You're pulled in so many different directions. But there's really only one thing that matters. And Mary has chosen the good part, which should not be taken away from her. Hey, you can just get distracted and you leave your first love. You can just neglect to spend time with the Lord and you drift away from your first love. The Lord knows your deeds. He knows your heart. And thirdly, he knows the prescription for your heart. Now, it's serious business to leave your first love. Why? Because it's the most important thing. It's the main thing. I don't care how much you do with having pure doctrine. I don't care how much you test the spirits to see whether they are from God. I don't care how much service you do. If you've left your first love, you've missed it, because it's all about a love relationship. And he says in verse 5, remember therefore from where you have fallen and repent and do the deed you did at first, or else I am coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place. I'll shut your church down, God says, unless you repent. What do we need to do? What's the prescription for the heart? Because listen, when we're honest, many of us as believers have left our first love. Many of us as believers. And we can be at a good church Ephesus was a good church. And we can leave our first love and not even know it, because it's imperceptible. You don't just go from here all the way over here in a day. You just drift. It's a slow fade, as that song says. And you just drift over. And pretty soon you say, look how far I've fallen. And that's exactly what he says to do. Hey, you know the prescription for your heart? Number one, you remember. Remember what? Remember how it used to be. Remember the first love. Remember when you were first saved. Adrian Rogers shared in a message, he called it having a spiritual heart attack. And it, basically, he used that phrase as you left your first love and your heart's not right with the Lord. He said this. He said, you remember how it used to be? You remember how you used to be driving in the car all by yourself and you're playing Christian music and you're singing to the Lord and your hands just go off the steering wheel to praise the Lord and the tears just come down your face because you're so excited about the Lord and you're so in love with Him? And he said, now it's gone. You don't have that anymore. What happened? Remember where you have fallen. And remember not only how it used to be, but remember what got you off track. What was it? Was it a sin? Was it something that the devil put, some lure that came by and you bit on it? Maybe it was greed. Maybe it was lust. Maybe it was power. Maybe it was a get-rich-quick scheme. Maybe it was bad friends. The Bible says that bad company corrupts good morals. Maybe it was you just got distracted with other things. What was it that caused you to derail? Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen and repent. So he wants us to remember. He wants us to repent and return to our first love. Repent, he says it twice in verse 5. Repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I'm coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. Do the deeds you did at first. What are the things that you did at first? Think about first love. You know, the Bible talks about it, compares marriage to our relationship with Jesus in Ephesians chapter 5. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Let a wife see to it that she submit herself to her husband, respect her husband, and submit herself to the husband just as the church submits itself to Christ. So there's a picture there. This mystery is great, but I'm speaking in reference to Christ and the church, he says in that whole passage about marriage. How does marriage work, especially first love, honeymoon love? Man, when you're in honeymoon love, I mean, everything is exciting and you want to do for the other person. You just can't wait to get home from work. Why? Because, man, we're still in our honeymoon. We might be back from our trip to Cancun or wherever you went, but it's honeymoon love. I mean, we're excited to be together. And it's not supposed to be in marriage that the longer you're married, the more blah it gets. It's the richer it gets, the deeper it gets. As we used to sing that song, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. You don't find hidden faults in the Lord Jesus. You find hidden beauties. And listen, in my relationship with my wife, Debbie, we've been married 31 years. We love each other more now than we did when we first got married because we know each other so much better. And I love her more and she loves me more. And it's still exciting. Now, the emotions come and go. You know, you're not always going to be fever pitch emotionally in your love for your spouse. Just like sometimes you're not going to feel a lot of love for the Lord. That doesn't mean you're not in love with him. Debbie and I, we use this little phrase when we talk about one another. We say, you know, sometimes I'm just getting a surge of love for you. I just feel it so deeply. And I love it when she says to me, Jeff, I'm getting a surge. I said, man, I like to hear that. And she likes it when I get a surge for her. Hey, the Lord likes it when you get a surge for him. It just overwhelms your heart. And we need to spend time every day. Do the deeds you did at first. I used to wake up, I remember in college, I was a young Christian. I'd only been saved about a year. I wake up in the morning, my hands just immediately went up to praise the Lord because my heart was so full because God was changing my life and it was exciting. He doesn't want us to lose that. He said, come back to me. There's a song that I heard back in the late 70s, early 80s. I don't know if it was birthed out of Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, but it sure could have been. It was written by a man named Gordon Jensen. It says this, I can still remember the wonderful feeling back when I first got to know you. It seemed the world was mine. I had joy. I had springtime. But that's all just a memory anymore. I guess I took my eyes off you, Lord. But I don't want this callous feeling anymore. Oh, please bring back the way it was before. It wasn't long ago when my heart was glowing and every new day was a challenge, but indifference turned me cold, made things stale, made them old. Now I've lost the happy song I used to sing. It seems that I forgot the most important thing, but I don't want this callous feeling anymore. Oh, please bring back the way it was before. And the chorus says this, bring back the new again. I want to see you again. Bring back the way it was when we began. How did I miss the road? When did I lose the glow? And where did the wonder go? Bring back the new again. Maybe that's expresses your heart. Hey, what do you have to do to bring back the new again so that you can see him again? Nothing will change until you take a step in the Lord's direction, until you repent and return and do the deeds you did at first. It takes you saying, I am sick of living a life where my heart is cold toward the Lord, where I'm just not on fire for him. Oh God, bring back the new again. I want to see you again. Bring back the way it was when we first began. Robert Robinson wrote that song, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it for thy courts above. And maybe you need to do that today.
Have you been prone to wander, as the song says? Well, if you know in your heart of hearts that that describes you, then perhaps you need to say right now, from your heart, say, Lord, here's my heart. Take it and seal it for your courts above. When you say, Lord, anything, you're testifying to the fact that you know Jesus and he is your Lord. Now, if you can't say that because you've never turned to him in repentance and faith, then his arms are open wide to you right now. He has prompted you to listen to this broadcast to hear that message specifically for you. He's pulling at your heart today to see him for who he really is, your creator, who made you for a purpose, which is to make him the main thing in your life, and to do it right now. God wants you to bow your heart now and surrender to him in repentance and faith. Tell him you're sorry. Mean it from the bottom of your heart. And when you do that, he promises he will come into your heart. He'll change you from the inside out. You'll never be the same, and you'll never look back. To find out more about what it really means to turn your life over to Christ and how to do it, then go to fromhisheart.org, click the Why Jesus link. There's a lot of material there to help you, walk you through the journey, and allow you to feel the freedom that comes from surrendering your life to Christ. This message was called Are You Missing the Main Thing? And it's part of the 9-message series For Such a Time as This, How to Overcome the Darkness by Living in the Light. It's our special thank you gift for your support this month to From His Heart of any amount, and it's available in multiple formats you pick. You can find out more when you go to fromhisheart.org or call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE. We also hope that when you visit our website, you'll sign up for Pastor Jeff's weekly Real Hope email encouragement letter. You'll get it every week on Friday mornings, and we'd love to send those to you each and every week. You will be encouraged. Just go online to fromhisheart.org. Sign up right there on the homepage. Well, that's all the time we have for today on From His Heart. I'm Larry Nobles, trusting you'll join us tomorrow for the next lesson in Pastor Jeff's series, For Such a Time as This, How to Overcome the Darkness by Living in the Light. It is a lesson that will surely resonate with everyone, including you. Join us Friday for the lesson called The Days of Deception, right here on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more. Go to FromHisHeart.org.